lot of times I am on the SEC side of these arguments. In fact, at the beginning of the season, I thought that the SEC was going to be have perhaps an all-time caliber season, top to bottom. Like, man, they're all good this year. No, not true. And I feel bad about even saying this. We've got a lot of Georgia fans that listen to us, some Florida fans, some Tennessee fans. You know, you guys are nice people, so just it's not personal. My thoughts are more the more broad than that. It's the organization. It's what has become the establishment of the SEC. And all the garbage that gets crammed down our throat every single year. And every now and then it's true. But people like Greg say they never account for the fact that it could not be true at some point. Because, I mean, case in point, we need 15 out of 16 guaranteed spots in a 16-team playoff because we are the best. And we've got 17. Never thinking that it's just a snapshot of the moment.
You know what's amazing to me about all of this? And I could not, in fact, I think we should hear a round of applause because I could not say any of that more clearly or any better. The thing that bothers me about the SEC stuff, and you mentioned that you have to root for a conference. To me, you have to root against the SEC. You have to do it because they will continue to say this outlandish stuff. Like, you can't even make an affirmative case about Miami. Because the first thing you have to do, and this is why insanity in the public sphere has to stop and has to be held accountable. And people need to be held accountable for being DAs. Like, you can't just say stuff. Because then what we have to do, people who are trying to be faithful to the game that happened last night, is we have to start by refuting the asinine thing that was said. We have to start. We can't even make the affirmative argument about Miami and even, like, God be with me, even an argument maybe like the Miami-Notre Dame argument about why Notre Dame fans are still going to be salty about this today and all this stuff and why maybe Notre Dame should have made it in over Alabama. Like, we can't even begin to have that argument because the first thing we have to do is say, aha, so the SEC shouldn't have had seven teams in. We have to actually spend time doing that. Because, you know, if we don't do that, if we don't spend time refuting that argument, then there is no blowback. Then they could just say, Greg Sankey can show up in February and March and April and May and June and July and say more outlandish things. I get so tired of the first thing I have to do is refute the absolutely, obviously asinine thing that is out there and believed. Before I can actually talk about the things that did happen in reality.
You know, it's similar to our political world right now in that you sometimes get involved not because you necessarily are that entrenched in the topic. It's just you hear the propaganda and you know that if you don't push back against the propaganda, people will believe the crap.
That's right.
And that is the SEC in a nutshell. And I have applauded people like Sankey. How many times, Quack, have I said the ACC needs a commissioner that will go to bat for them like Sankey? Listen, he is doing his job. He is exactly what you need. But the Feinbaums and the Sankeys of the world never – they stick to that no matter what. Feinbaum has at least backed off a little bit. I'll give Big Ears credit for that. Because he didn't have a choice.
Right.
He didn't have a choice. But people, if you are not in the SEC, you fear that people are going to believe that. And so when decisions are made next year and the next year and the next year about the playoff, they're going to forget about this year. And they're just going to believe what they have heard from people like that. You gave the SEC five spots this year. You know, all the attention was on Notre Dame and Miami when that debacle happened. It was the wrong argument, Quack. It was the wrong argument. It should have been Notre Dame or Alabama or Notre Dame or Oklahoma, because Notre Dame is so much more worthy of being in the playoffs than either of those teams.
I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of making the resume argument for Alabama, that I said I understand why Alabama's in over Miami or Notre Dame because I felt they earned more, which isn't even really faithful to what I believed. It's hard to prove against it because there's just so – it's just a mountain of crap that you have to sift through to try to, like, to rebuke these arguments. But Missouri and Tennessee were, like, the third and fourth best wins. Missouri and Tennessee were – I mean, Duke, like Missouri and Tennessee, all the team that SEC folks laugh at in your conference that would have finished 4-8 in the SEC is Missouri and Tennessee. And that was the third and fourth best win that Alabama had all year long, period. Those would be laughed at. They wouldn't even be receiving votes in another league. This SEC this year, Ben, this is the problem with the SEC, and it's not the case in any other conference. The team at the top of the SEC is always presumed to be at the top of college football, when in reality, yeah, this year, the best team in the SEC was about as good as the seventh best team in the SEC, and they were all kind of here. They were all above average. Like, Ole Miss is a really good team, and Georgia is a really good team, and Texas is a really good, and Oklahoma and Alabama, those are like really good teams, but they're not elite. They're not. And Miami's a really good team, but doesn't get the benefit of the doubt because they didn't get to face teams that we're told are elite when they're just really good.
And a team like Miami is the one that ends up on the chopping block. And it doesn't have to be Miami. You can fill that name in with a multitude of teams. They are the team that's always on the chopping block because of the conference that they are in, not because of how good or bad they are. Meanwhile, a team like Alabama, a team like Oklahoma this year, because Oklahoma is a better example because of the conference they're in, gets the benefit of the doubt, and they don't even have to lobby for a spot. It's no. Just handed to them. I am sick of it. I'm not taking it anymore, Quok. I'm not taking it anymore. It is handed to them because of their conference affiliation. That same Oklahoma team with the same record, still in the Big 12, doesn't sniff the playoffs.
Correct. Correct. Now, a texter says, doesn't Pete Bavakwa look even more stupid now complaining about the ACC pushing for Miami to get in? Oh, I mean, well, there's part of that, too.
That is true. But to be fair, though, he responded to what the national narrative was, and that was Notre Dame should be in over Miami. And then when it was the other way around, he's responding partly to that. He's also responding to he is part of the conference that allegedly lobbied against him, where he made his fatal flaw was he should have been talking about one of these other teams.
That's correct. That's correct. And we can't, again, your New Year's resolution, if you're listening to this, should be we can't let him get away with it. We can't let him get away with it. There is going to be, and I've already told myself, there's going to be a mountain of evidence from the FPI and SP Plus and all this stuff that the SEC just has better teams than everybody. And I'm not taking it. I'm going to make them prove it. Because this year, you know what? I didn't make them prove it because I wasn't really looking around and seeing a whole bunch of other teams that were out there just impressing me all over the fruited plain. But so, you know, you give the benefit of the doubt. I'm not. I'm not giving benefit of the doubt because of portal rankings and recruiting stars and all that. I'm not doing it.
Texas said, will the SEC narratives continue next year? Yes, they will, because that's what we do every year. You start the whole conference in the top 25. It's really hard to fall out of that. I mean, you're given the mulligan because of the conference you're in, you're started in an inflated value. If your value starts inflated, your value stays inflated the whole year.
Missouri, Tennessee. That's your answer right there. Now, on the other side, we get to talk about this game, which was a delightful college football game. I mean, a very, very good college football game.
It's a very good college football game.
I thought both teams equally tried to win and lose the game.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm certainly not – only pulling for Miami because of that last night. Hey, I want Indiana to win it all. I'm just going to tell you right now. I want Indiana to win it all, and I will be rooting for them hard. With that said, Miami played kind of bad last night.
They were not great. It was not. They did not shower themselves in glory. We'll talk about it. 654 Roar is the number if you like to join us. A lot of people agree. I like that we've been able to, you know, poke the bear a little bit on a rainy Friday. Hour one of the program continues after this. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
When you need to move, choose Tiger Moving Company for an affordable and stress-free experience. Our team of capable, trainable, and professional movers is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service. Whether you're relocating across town or across the state, we work hard to ensure your move is seamless. Let's start your journey today. Visit TigerMovingGreenville.com and discover why we're the best choice for your next move. Voted best in the upstate for the past 7 years. Tiger Moving, the easy way to move.
If you need expert tree care, call Franklin Tree Service, your trusted partner in the upstate, for top quality tree work and more. From safe tree removal to trimming, stump grinding, and emergency storm services, Franklin Tree Service has you covered. Their team of certified professionals is committed to enhancing your landscape one tree at a time. The best prices around, reliable service, and fully insured. Franklin Tree Service is your go-to for all your tree needs. Call them today, 864-947-9065.
Hey Tiger fans, I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Hey, it's Walt here. Wings, Weck, and wall-to-wall sports. That's Moretti's Pizzeria and Bar in Malden. Buffalo, New York flavor right here in the upstate. Crispy wings, stone oven pizza, and the famous beef on Weck. Juicy roast beef on a salty caraway bun with au juice. Big screens, cold beer, Friday fish fry, family-friendly, and just off 385. Moretti's, your new hangout where everyone's a regular.
Ready to hit the trail? Start with protection that's as tough as the terrain. Rhino Linings of Greenville, now at Odyssey Vehicle Outfitters in Simpsonville.
Spray-on bed liners, rock-solid durability. And while you're here, gear up with lift kits, wheels, lighting, racks, and more.
From overland rigs to weekend warriors, Odyssey has the gear and the know-how to outfit your ride right.
Rhino tough, trail ready, all under one roof.
Visit OdysseyVehicleOutfitters.com and get Rhino tough today.
This is Coach Dabo Sweeney. I remember how great it was to turn 21, but remember, just because you're 21 or over doesn't mean you can buy alcohol for anyone underage. In fact, you could face fines and jail time for a first offense. Upstate alcohol enforcement teams are enforcing underage drinking laws to save lives. When officers catch a minor with alcohol, they ask, who gave it to them? Don't let it be you. For more information, go to phoenixcenter.org.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The upstate leader in sports by day, worldwide leader in sports by night. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
And, you know, it sucks for Ole Miss because Ole Miss, you know, if Georgia or Texas or Alabama, like, has to wear a lot of our frustration on this today, it's probably more appropriate. LSU. Ole Miss is lovable, too. We need to talk about that. Ole Miss is lovable, too. Like, I was sad that Ole Miss lost. And I can't believe in a game between Miami and Ole Miss, I would have been kind of bummed if either of those teams lost instead of glad that I could fire one of them into the sun. I don't know if I'm getting older or if we're living an upside down,
over there.
I don't know, man. I don't know. This hour of the program brought to you by our friends at Empire Homes. Sunrise by Empire Homes is a wonderful community. It is in development right now. There are homes for sale. There are homes that have been bought. Lots that have been purchased. They've got spec homes that they can put you in right now, and you can save on those. You can also get savings on new builds. So they've got over 100 lots in that area right there just down the road from Pendleton High School, minutes from I-85, minutes from downtown Pendleton, downtown Clemson. It's a great location if you're trying to relocate, investment property, weekend home, rental home, that kind of thing. They can do that for you. If you want to relocate in there, I was very impressed when I took a tour at the different models and the customization options there and the way they're treating people there. It gets my seal of approval. That's a really good process they have going on at EmpireHomesUpstate.com. Schedule a chat. You can chat. You can schedule a tour. EmpireHomesUpstate.com. Key thing that I took away from the game last night, I'll admit I was watching with about half an eye because Clemson had an historic women's basketball win last night over NC State that had my full attention. So I was watching about half an eye. I got home to watch about the last 8-9 minutes. And then this morning I went back and watched the rest. I caught back up. And I was aware of how the game was going during. Like, you know, commercial breaks are a beautiful thing. And so, I was aware of how things were going. Here's what I loved the most about last night's game. That is what a college football championship game is supposed to feel like.
Yeah.
There were high-level plays being made by quarterbacks and running backs and defensive players and receivers all over the place. There were missed field goals, doink in, doink out field goals. There were penalties in critical moments. There was controversy. There were blown plays followed up by miraculous plays followed up by blown plays. There were more dropped interceptions than caught passes last night. It was like a beautifully great college football game because then it got down to the end, and I felt like at the end of the game, it was just haymaker, 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 haymaker. And then you had these two contrasting styles. You had Georgia with the You had Miami with the pronounced time of possession advantage, like almost 42 minutes with the ball. You had Georgia who, and I looked this up. I told you I looked up some weird stats this morning. I was sort of living in the weird corners, the nether regions of the stat broadcast page. The difference between Miami and Ole Miss in tackles last night is amazing. Okay, you can do time. I mean, time of possession is good for you. I mean, it says this. But to me, I felt it, and you could kind of see it at the end, like the last play, through the lens of, look at how many tackles that Miami made, and look at how many tackles that Ole Miss made in the game. Ole Miss was credited with 83 tackles in the game. Miami was credited with 41 tackles in the game. So there were 19 plays where, like, an incomplete pass or a guy runs out of bounds or whatever. There were 19 plays that Miami ran, or excuse me, that Ole Miss ran that nobody tackled anybody. There were, like, five plays. And some of these are combo tackles, so, you know, that's a rough number. There were five plays, 88 plays, 83 tackles, five, the difference between tackles and plays on the Ole Miss side. Ole Miss's defense just got tight. And Miami's defense got hurt, so they had backups in the game. But, like, the last play, Carson Beck, I'm just watching this play. It's a four-man rush with man coverage. You've got a little bit of zone coverage in the middle. And you see, like, the D-tackle on the twist get wiped out. And he just hits the field and, like, doesn't get up. And I thought to myself, that looks like a defense that's just been kind of leaned on the whole game. And just, like, that little bit of desperation. If you could have gotten through, you did. But I just felt like there wasn't quite enough in the tank for Ole Miss because just the pounding and the wear and tear and the fact they were on the field so much, taking so many blows.
Well, a couple of things. On the tackling disparity, I don't know that – I mean, Miami ran a lot more plays, so there's more opportunity for tackles for Ole Miss.
But 2-1 tackles from one to – that then, seems like a lot of difference.
Maybe consider – consider how many plays Ole Miss ran at the end of the game where they're running out of bounds, though.
Right.
So, I will say this about – listen, I've got a lot of respect for Ole Miss because the first half, specifically the first quarter of that game, I'm thinking, Ole Miss is not going to make it to the second TV timeout in the third quarter. At one point, it's 34-8 in plays run. 34-8. And I'm like, if you guys are this gassed now, you're going to die in the second half. To Ole Miss's credit, they were tired, but, man, you can't say they didn't leave it all on the field because they did.
Agreed.
And they actually held up better, much better than I expected them to in the end of the game. But
yes.
You're right. I mean, and that has been – Miami's MO just to have a wearing effect on you throughout a game and then put you away in the fourth quarter.
You know, I sort of agree with people saying this, that I saw a lot of Twitter conversation about Miami. They should have run the ball more.
Mm-hmm.
Miami ran it 51 times, y'all. Like, it ain't like Miami threw – now, Beck – look, I had Carson Beck lower than 29.5 pass attempts in an underdog play. That failed.
Yeah.
Because Carson Beck threw the ball more than I thought. You take sacks away, and you add those to dropbacks, and it's not counting scrambles. What is he at? At four sacks. So you're talking about 41-ish dropbacks to 47-ish runs. Okay, like I could see that. I felt like Miami did a pretty good job of actually using the screen game in rundowns against heavy boxes.
Yeah. I'm talking about the wearing effect of Miami. Cole Kublik posted this last night. In the fourth quarter of playoff games, Miami has had 10 drives in fourth quarters of playoff games. They have two punts, one fumble, two kneel downs, and five touchdowns.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive.
Pretty efficient, I mean, right there.
The kneel downs, just you can just erase those. So, Out of the eight others, five touchdowns, a fumble, and two punts. That's pretty efficient.
And I credit Carson Beck for a lot of that. And I'm going to say this. If you were somebody who was a skeptic of Miami, likely some of the reasons why had to do with coaching quarterback. In a big game like this, would Carson Beck – become the YOLO, you know, four interception mm-hmm. against Louisville Carson Beck. At what point do we see that version? He had one pick, but it's hard to say that he was.
That was no way near his fault.
No.
It was a tip ball.
He was by far the more careful quarterback. Like, if we're just looking at interception numbers, how many picks did Chambliss throw that Miami dropped?
Oh, my God. That's what frustrated me about Miami. I mean, they dropped a pick six and at least two, maybe three others that are just in their hands. Carson Beck was as comfortable in a big game as he has ever been in his life.
He made were they 11 of 19 on third down? He was, I told you, this stat just blew me away. That Miami, like, they didn't convert every third and long, but go back and watch the third downs. Carson Beck makes the right play on, like, every third down. He didn't force a ball into triple coverage. Sometimes he just hit a check down and they punted. Or he hit a check down and Tony, like, breaks two tackles and gets a first down or something. Like, he didn't feel like he had to win it all with his arm. And that's a little bit new with Carson Beck.
I just, Miami, like we said, they didn't play great. All the false starts and these dropped interceptions, and you watch that first half in real time and think, how are they not up by three touchdowns?
Yes.
I mean, really, and which I was made me really nervous at halftime. But the other thing is, and callers, we're coming to you here in a minute. I was impressed with the Miami offensive play calling from the standpoint they put Carson Beck in good positions. They did run the ball 50-plus times. And even the final touchdown that Beck runs it in, the design of that play where you have trips on the left that all go across the field, that had to be part of the game plan. If you've got 2 seconds, if you don't see anybody open, the left side of the field is going to be wide open for you to run it in. I'm not so sure that wasn't part of that play design.
You know, I watched Mario Cristobal giving instructions to Carson Beck in the huddle before that play, and I told my wife, I said, I think this is going to be an RPO or some sort of a read where they are telling him, if you get it, run to the middle of the field and sit down. Like, don't try to force one in on the RPO. I thought it would be some play action. When a straight dropped, I thought, okay, he's going to throw it. At no point did I think they are calling a pass play and Carson Beck is going to think to pull it down and run for a touchdown.
I just, after watching it, I really think that was part of the design there. It might not have been the first option, but certainly the second option. There's no linebackers on that side. The left tackle sealed that end of the line, and there's nobody in the secondary on that side. I mean, he could have baked a cake and still gotten in over there.
Correct. Oh, yeah. He could have rolled in. Let's go to Darren and Pickens, who's up with us next. What's up, Darren?
Hey, guys. Oh, man, what a game last night.
Great game.
Yeah, despite all the, problems and stuff, I thought that was one of the best college games I've personally seen in a long time. You just never knew who was going to do what. But I went in the game not knowing who I wanted to win. I just wanted to see a good game, and I did see a good game. And but I tell you what, I think, honestly, I like Chambliss a little bit better than Beck. I think he's a little bit better quarterback overall. I think he's a little bit better version of Dak Prescott myself.
You know, it's interesting because I do think that Chambliss, he made some huge throws. Even, like, the two throws that he made to get him in possession for the Hail Mary, like, he hits a seam ball where he's got to put it over-under coverage that is just tremendous. It could easily be picked or swatted if he's a half a step off. He made some really big plays in a game. He did try to give the ball away like 5 times. And I have to keep convincing myself of that. Like, all the plays that Chambliss made and even the plays that he made in the Georgia game and all this stuff, like, he could have easily had 4 turnovers. And if Miami's defenders catch the ball, what are we saying about Chambliss today? Like, to me, the best thing about Beck is he made a few plays, but more than that, he allowed his offense to be what they were supposed to be. They had 3 7-plus-minute drives. And you don't sustain 7-plus-minute drives by throwing a ball into double coverage 20 yards down the field on a 3rd-and-4.
No, not at all. Well, Yeah, I mean, I wanted Ole Miss to win just to slap Lane Kiffin in the face. Say, ha, 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 look what we did. We don't need you. But at the same time, you know, I've never liked Miami. But last night I was kind of like, okay, well, this is a good game. But I'm like Ben, though. I'm pulling for Indiana the whole way. I hope Indiana just goes and wins the whole thing.
I'm with you, Darren. I think it'd be great. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks
Darren,
very much.
Darren talked about how great that game was, and it was. I mean, it was very entertaining. TV's talking about this being one of the best fourth. I think maybe they specifically said fourth quarters they had ever seen in the playoff era.
Oh no!
And Chris Fowler said that, and I hate to make it about Clemson, but do we not remember? I mean, it wasn't that long ago, the 2015, it was actually the 2016 game, the 2015 season, Alabama-Clemson. There were 40 points scored in the fourth quarter.
Yes. By the way, the 16 game.
Of a national championship.
Where Clemson scores with 1 second left after Alabama scores with 2 minutes left.
I'm like, guys, you were there. I saw you.
Did we not have a pick six, a Georgia pick six to clinch a national championship while Alabama's driving? Did we not have an overtime game?
Yeah, I mean, I realize we live in the moment, but and last night was good, but it's not. I mean, we've had much better quarters in bigger games.
It was a great fourth quarter.
It was.
It was a great fourth quarter. But yeah, we didn't need that.
But let's not overly sensationalize what happened either.
No, we didn't. We didn't need that. We could have accurately felt something about that without pretending that nothing else had ever happened before.
Texture said Chris Fowler had a rough call last night. I want to talk about that on the other side because I noticed that too.
All right, stay with us, Delvin. We're going to come to you as well. Hour one of the program continues right after this.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have two-stall, three-stall, and four-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
Here's a longevity hack you'll actually enjoy. Bouldering. It builds real-world strength, especially grip strength, which has been linked in British Medical Journal research to improve longevity. And the head game? A 2025 German study found that bouldering improves cognitive abilities such as concentration, focus, and problem-solving abilities, while also lowering depression and anxiety. Come try out our intro class or first-time special Blockhaven, Greenville's bouldering gym for body, brain, and community. Learn more at blockhaven.com.
Your family will delight in the locally sourced beef and other foods from AMPM Farms. Their beef is raised naturally with no hormones or vaccines, making its way from the pasture to their source. Along with vendor and farm products from 70 vendors, they offer the very best in local food choices. Platt and Ashley Moore and their team invite you to AMPM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and next to Farmhouse Tacos and Traveler's Rest. Online at ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstraproofing.com.
Craft Stove Store and Patio is here to help your home stay warm and cozy until spring with over 20 burning displays of vented and vent-free gas logs. Vent-free logs will heat for just pennies an hour and even keep you warm and cozy in the event of a power failure. Craft Stove Store and Patio even features the Radiant Heating vented gas logs that have a real fire look and radiant heat. Visit Craft Stove Store and Patio, located on 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Taylors.
Craft Stove Store and Patio. Looking for exceptional senior living? Welcome to the Barclay at Clemson, formerly Dominion Senior Living and Everlawn Independent Living at Patrick Square. Now with a fresh name and the same trusted care you've come to count on. Whether it's independent living, assisted living, or memory care, enjoy top-notch care, chef-prepared meals, engaging activities, and the same friendly staff members in a community that truly feels like home. Live well and thrive at the Barclay at Clemson. Schedule your free tour today at 864-722-2811.
The Roar. Better than any music you'll hear being put on hold. We promise. We are The Roar.
I let you drive around my mind. I can't count the times you made me feel like I'm nothing. Played me like a fool, like a fool. Saying drink another whiskey.
All right, hour one continues Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead with you. This hour brought to you by our friends at Underdog. I told you I had a little skin in the game with Underdog. There is a, there's a very cool promo right now in my inbox. It is a gimme pick with any quarterback in a playoff game. So the way that works is it gives you 0.5 pass yards. And as long as the quarterback gets a pass yard, you win for that player. That could not be any easier thanks to Underdog. This is a great time to play Underdog too. I mean a great time because that's not the only promotion and the only boost that I have in my inbox right now. That's just what's happening this weekend. Quarterback of your choice from any of the wild card games. You go higher or lower on your favorite player's stats, passing yards, rush attempts, even like tackles, sacks for defensive players. It's amazing what you can do. And right now, download the app, use promo code OOB to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Great time to do it right now with NFL playoffs this weekend. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playgetterms_DFS_.html for details. Consider with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit ncpgambling.org. We've got lots of you that agree with Ben's assertion about Chris Fowler last night, so we're going to get to that in a second. Let's go to Delvin first, who joins us next. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Delvin?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Thanks for getting in.
First thing, breaking news, Greg Sankey is trying to get a rule so he can get all 16 SEC teams in the playoffs.
I mean, they got to.
Okay.
You got to have it, right? You got to mandate it because otherwise they're not going to earn their way.
Yeah. And what's this thing going on with DJ Lagway? I thought he committed to Baylor. He's not going to Baylor or something?
He is going to Baylor. No, the issue was that he was on his visit to Baylor. Everybody said he was at Baylor, and there were several accounts that were claiming to have seen him in Clemson, and people took that and ran with it, and we had to spend some time dealing with that earlier this week. So that was the frustration that we had with DJ Lagway, who very predictably and very normally committed to Baylor this week without incident.
And I want to thank Washington Huskies for taking legal action against Demone Williams, demanding our money back. It's funny, Carl, when these players try to leave another school, got to get money. When you threaten to take their money back, they want to stay all of a sudden.
Demone Williams sounds like a great teammate, doesn't he, right now? Just excited about the season, excited to lead. Delvin, I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah,
thanks very much.
Thanks for my call.
Oh, man, five-paragraph essay in that. Man, I'm coming back, and I've never been more locked in. Never felt more loyal. By the way, sorry about doing this while y'all were at a funeral. What a statement. What a sentence. Unbelievable. All right, you want to talk about Fowler? You want to talk about Fowler from last night?
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. I would bet money they had some type of technical issue in their booth. I truly think Chris Fowler is one of the best there is. I mean, he's become the voice of college football in big games. And there's some other guys I like, but in no way bashing him. With that said, Quack, he called the game like it was not there, like it was a remote broadcast. He was delayed on stuff. He didn't see things. We were talking off the air. There's a third down what he calls a third down conversion by Ole Miss on a sideline pass that was clearly dropped. I mean, it was never possessed. And Herbstreit saw it, and you could tell that he was trying not to show up Fowler on the air. And Chris Fowler's talking about it like it's a first down. I'm like, you got monitors in front of you, dude, and you're in the stadium. How do you not see that? And sometimes you can't see it. I mean, you're blocked by the sideline sometimes, and in that particular case, the sidelines would have blocked. But if you listen to those two, Herbstreit, you can tell he's watching the monitors the whole game.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, man, Fowler just is not seeing that stuff, and he is – even the Beck touchdown, he's late with the call.
I think one of the hardest things to do when you're calling a TV game is to figure out where to look. Because there are things you need – like, for example, calling a baseball game, I spend half the baseball game watching the monitor and half the baseball game watching the field. Because there's things that you need to be able to tell people right. are happening or tell your producers are happening or things that you see. Like, you need to be able to tell people that stuff. So you have to be able to watch the field. You also, though, have to be able to watch the monitor because otherwise – and you know what? In their booth, in that TV booth, they've got cameras that you can't see. So it's not just the one monitor of what's going out and then the field. There's other cameras in there so that you know what's on all the cameras. So they've got a lot of places that they can be looking. It is a challenge. I'll say that. It is a challenge.
It is. Look, it's not an easy job.
But he's been... You can't look dumb. And he sounded like he did... Like you say, he was having issues doing it from home. That's what it felt like last night.
Exactly. So I don't know. It was odd. I would not at all be surprised if we don't hear some sort of explanation about that from last night. And then, you know, I was going to save this for later, but since we're talking about the booth, then we get this gem from Kirk Herbstreit at the end of the game. And I just go, huh?
Oh, I know what you're going to play. This was fascinating.
This is Herbstreit's little soapbox moment in post game.
One thing that I think we've been able to witness firsthand, if you're a coach watching this or a GM watching this, while you're chasing five stars and agents, free agents, and everything you're dealing with, you better build a team. Indiana, they don't have a lot of five stars. You know what they got? They got a team. This is still a team sport, and it's about winning games. Did you hear Miami when they got up on Jacoby Thomas? We almost had tears in our eyes talking about, I'm going to play for my guys. Like, if you don't build that and you just chase five stars, you're never going to be here on that stage. You better stop chasing just this craziness, and you better step back and say, if you're opposed to your demands, get out of here. We're going to go find guys that want to be a part of this and want to play, because that's what's getting here.
He says that, Kwok, in the post game between two teams that have 53% of the starts on the Miami side were transfers, and 66% on the Ole Miss side?
Yeah,
more than half of the players he's watching are transfers. And we're talking about Miami and Ole Miss. And while I, in principle, agree with what he's saying, you do have to build a team. You do have to hope that guys gel together. Don't pee down my leg and tell me it's raining. When you're saying this after two transfer portal heavy teams and want me to believe that they have transferred to those schools because they want to be part of a team and we want to go to they have great Bible studies at Miami and we want to be part of a team. And they're there to get paid, dude. Let's not pretend.
Do you know
what are you talking about?
There was one player. One.
What are you talking about?
In the entire transfer portal class last year, There was one player that got a five-star rating in the on-three industry average. Do you know who that player was?
I do not.
Carson Beck.
Oh, yeah.
The literal only school that chased a five-star transfer last year was Miami. That was the only one.
And they paid him $4.3 million.
Yep.
Hey, do you think that he came to Miami for the cash or to be part of the great team?
Let me just say this, though. What Herb Street did, and I know that Herb Street has been on the decline for a lot of people, and there are people who can't stand him. I think Kirk Herb Street is the best football analyst in America at any level. I don't even think it's close.
I would second that. In-game talk. But when he goes outside of that box, man, he struggles mightily.
Yes. And this is what Herb Street has done. He's kind of the old man shaking his fist at the cloud here. He creates a binary that's not real life. Mm-hmm. He basically creates this thing where you can either chase five stars or you can prioritize team. And the reality is these two teams were heavily compensated, star-laden rosters who also became teams. Go chase a bunch. And listen, you can say what you want about Indiana. Indiana didn't have five stars. But you know what they did? They spent a lot of money for a really good quarterback that's going to be like the number one pick in the NFL draft. Like, you can save me your stars. Literally, in 9 months, Fernando Mendoza is going to be starting week one of the NFL season. Don't act like that guy's from Podunk Valley A&M Tech State. Or that guy's ranked 792,000th in his class. Like, good players win games. Good players who are well-coached turn into good teams. That's the bottom line. I don't understand this thing where you have to choose between acquiring good players and having a good team. Because clearly, you have to do both. And Herb Street is like, you're right. He's making it seem like, well, these guys are winning because they didn't try to get good players. And that's just the opposite of the truth.
Yeah, Texas said he didn't say transfers, though. He said five stars. But he's inferring that it's about who you transfer into your program. The implication was that people are coming there to be part of great teams, not for any other reason. And to Quok, there's one five-star that was there, and it was Carson Beck. It just, and you want to hold, listen, I respect both of those teams, but you don't hold Ole Miss and Miami up as the standard and talk about team. I
the two biggest bags in the portal.
Am I in the twilight zone here? I flashed back to, 2015 or something?
And, Indiana, you know who's not a team? Truly who's a well-compensated not a team is Alabama. Alabama's like, you want to have that Indiana versus Alabama? Indiana, far worse talent-wise roster, much better team than Alabama. You want to go on that soapbox? Do it in Pasadena. But last night, choosing last night to do that is silliness. Miami, Malachi Toney's a five-star. Reclassified five-star. Freshman. Yeah, they should. You know what they should have? They shouldn't have chased Malachi Toney. They should have gotten a three-star from Clearwater, that whose best offer was FIU. That's what they should have done. That makes a lot of sense. Or like Ole Miss. You know what? Nah, you shouldn't have gone for like Centarian Perkins. Shouldn't have done that. You should have gone with a three-star from Jackson State. You should have, or a two-star. Because that's how teams are built, right? Teams are not built with great players. Princely Umamielen. Don't need him. Rather have a two-star from the middle of nowhere, Dodge City or somewhere. I mean, what are we talking about here? I understand what Herb Street is saying, and I agree with the point that football is about building teams. It's not just talent acquisition. It's about building teams. But acting like talent acquisition is the enemy of success is wrong.
And that, again, that's the way that I took what him saying it in that moment after that game. That's certainly the way I took that.
Correct. No doubt about it. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to join us. I have some other thoughts about this game, and some other thoughts about the about where we stand in college football. Here's something I want to ask, and I want to let this link. We actually have a poll question on our website, theroarfm.com/polls. Will Lane Kiffin play for a national title at LSU? Because it occurred to me last night that Lane Kiffin's former team was one Hail Mary away from.